Good morning. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries. I want to thank you for being with us. Thank you for all that support us monetarily with prayers and just everyone that talks to us, supports us, tells us you listen to us. I just want to thank you so much for that. This morning, my message is going to be a Father's Day message from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning where. And Father's Day is a very special day. We honor our fathers. Jesus talked about the Father. He spoke of him many times. The scriptures address fathers specifically many times. This morning in our scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." All right, it begins. It's about relationships, family relationships. It talks about children obey your parents. It talks about it being the first commandment with promise. It is one of the Ten Commandments. Some people think that's the only commandments that are in the Bible. There are thousands in the Bible. It was amazing how they had everything set up. But it, you know, everybody just thinks, well, they're just ten. Well, the fact is nobody can even keep those ten. But there were so many, and Jesus kept all of them. He was a sinless Lamb of God, but he spoke of the Father many times. You can deny that, but it's there. Why did he do that? Because it's real. Do I understand it completely? No, but I know that's what he said. And I think that was for us to be able to understand our relationship to God, and it's multifaceted in many ways. And so we see this, and he says, "Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is the promise." And it does say that in the Ten Commandments, that you may be long upon the earth, giving honor to them. That does not mean that if you have a parent that beats you and degrades you all the time, that you think that's right. That's not what that is. That's not putting up with that. But you honor them. You can honor them with your life. You can go on and live for the Lord and give honor to them in that way. There's a lot of debate on that, but there's really not. I mean, you shouldn't be able to put up with that kind of stuff. But it goes on to say, "And ye fathers." Now, this is an indication there that fathers are very important. Now, we live in a society that has told us that fathers are not important. Throughout the last few decades, back in the 70s, they started in shows and everything that the father was the kind of the dumb guy. Before that, he was the guy that was the anchor of the family. He was the one that they could go to for advice, but then it changed. It started changing. It started changing in several ways. I mean, they started bringing homosexual characters in there that we could laugh at, that we could get comfortable with. This was all Satan's plan to get us used to this idea. And it was tearing the family down, tearing down the structure of the family so that they could say, well, see, it shouldn't be that way, even though God set it up. And even within our churches, and I keep saying this because our churches have let us down. Our churches have let our nation down by allowing these things to come in and capitulating to the world and saying, this is okay, we're going to do this. And even within their own realm of their own buildings and things like that, they've done these things and said, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be, even though God said it was supposed to be. God said that the husband is the head of the household. What does that mean? The husband's the head of the household. That's what that means. It means that what it says. Here it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And there's a colon there, so you stop, you know, and you just gather this thought. Fathers, you're not responsible for degrading your kids and make them feel bad. Now, are there times that we do that and we even do it intentionally? Sometimes we do it intentionally. There's no doubt about it. Maybe we get mad at them when we say stuff that we shouldn't say. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. We don't mean to say the thing. I've done this with my kids. I've said things and you know, I didn't even think anything about it. And later on, I found out that I hurt their feelings by what I said. It was unintentional. I wasn't meaning to do that. And I would have to go back and go, "Hey, look, that is not what I meant. I want you to understand that. I said this. I was joking. You know, maybe it was a little harsh. I thought it was funny." And I do that a lot. My kids will tell me a lot of times, you know, "You're not as funny as you think you are." But, you know, sometimes I do things and I think it's funny that they don't. And so we have to go back to them and say, you know, "Hey, I didn't mean to do that, but provoke them not to wrath, you know? And so why would we do that? In Colossians chapter 3, it talks about this. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged, down, you know? They're not listening anymore. They're not upbeat, you know? Hey, there's a constructive criticism we can give, we call it, which is a lot of times the truth. Give them something to think about, because our Heavenly Father does that as well. Our Heavenly Father doesn't put us down, doesn't hurt us so that we are discouraged. Our Heavenly Father tells us things in His Word that are good for us. This is the way you should do. You know, you tell your kids, eat the right things. That's not provoking them. That's not being mean to them. That's telling them the truth. Eat these things so that you can maintain your health. Don't eat candy all the time. That's not being mean. Don't eat ice cream all the time. That's not being mean. That's telling them the truth, and that's what the Bible does. The Bible tells us if you will live this way, then your life will be much better. That's what we need in our lives. We need someone to guide us. We as Christians, we're supposed to have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that guide us, that take us and move us and show us the right way when we allow them to. But we as children, I can tell you right now, myself as a child, I didn't always listen to my dad. There have been several writers that have written things about this that would say, you know, that you know, they didn't do what their father had said, and then later on they found out their dad knew exactly what he was talking about because he'd already been there. But, you know, a lot of times we look at that and we go, I know better, you know, I can do this, I can do this myself, and I don't have to listen to them. They don't have it all going on. They don't remember being young. And as you get older, you realize, yeah, they did, and we do. And so we look at this, and I've got grown children now, you know, my oldest son will call me up now and say, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? You know, I want to throw something at you, you know, and we're able to talk. So the relationship has changed from me dictating to them to me being able to talk to them. And see, as we grow spiritually, that relationship with God, the Father, should change. You say, oh, I thought he was the same. He is the same, but we're different. When we start out, when we're first saved, we need to be guided completely and held right here, you know, and say, no, this is it. This is kind of like the bumpers. You ever been to the bowling alley and they put those things up in the gutter so your ball can't go in there? You know, you get this guidance, your ball bounce back and forth, you know, and we do this with kids a lot of times so that they can get it all the way down there, but it's got guidance all the way down through it, all down through that lane. It can't go in the gutter, you know. And as children of God, a lot of times we're that way. He has to do those kind of things to keep us out of the gutters, keep us on the lane, keep us doing the right things. And later on, as we grow in the Lord, we have a different relationship with Him. And we're able to talk to Him because we've grown to the point where He's not having to do that so much, but He's able to enlighten us in the Scripture and tell us this is what it is. You know, where we get in the meat of the Word, we learn a little bit more, we learn a little bit more, we learn a little bit more, and we get that going. And so now we can go to Him and say, hey, Lord, I just need a better understanding of this. You know, I'm on the right path here because You've said I am, according to Your Word, but I need a little bit better understanding of what's going on. Or maybe we get to the point where we do have a little bit better understanding when things come against us, and we're able to take that and use it for somebody else. That experience and all those things that have been given to us. And like I said, I've been given advice. Even my grandfather would tell me things, and then when he told me, I was like, oh yeah, sure, okay, gotcha. You know, I was respectful, but I wasn't really listening. I wasn't really paying attention, you know, and in many ways I thought, you don't know what he's talking about. Later on, as I became closer and closer to the age he was when he told me those things, and I'm older now than I remember my granddad being at my youngest age, which is crazy. But as I got to that age, I would start to realize, hey, that was wisdom. That was wisdom. And even though I didn't take it in right then, I did hear it, and it was there, and I started using it. So we as Christians need to be helping younger Christians. Being a father figure sometimes to a younger Christian. You say, well, I'm not their father. Well, that's okay. You can be a father figure. John Mark, you know, to Paul, he at one time criticizing me. I can't use him anymore. But later on, he said it's profitable for me. Timothy, he called him my own son in the gospel. You know, it wasn't his son, but it was his son in the gospel. So maybe you need to mentor someone. Maybe they'll listen to you. A young Christian. Maybe today you've got somebody in your life. You're a more mature Christian. You've got someone in your life and you're thinking, man, they need some help. Why don't you go up to them and talk to them? You don't have to go up and provoke them into anger, you know, and say, hey, you need to get off what you're doing. You know, hey, say, I've been noticing you. I've seen you here and there, you know, and I want to talk to you. You know, I know you're a child of God and I, you know, I just love to talk to you. Maybe I'll take you out for a cup of coffee and we can just sit. Maybe you can tell me about yourself, you know, just to listen to them and find out where they're from, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and give them some guidance. So fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And we see in Colossians because it discourages them. It brings them down. We don't need to do that. Now, at times, maybe we're going to have to tell them some things that are going to bring them down a little bit, but we need to be able to build them back up. Say, look, here's why I told you this. I want you to understand that, you know, I told you the bridge is out because I don't want you going off of it, but I've got a different way for you to go. You know, those types of things. Provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers are very important in the home. They are very important in the home. Children who have intact families with fathers do better. That's statistic. I mean, that's not even just relying just on the Bible, but statistically, what does that prove? The Bible is correct. That's what that proves. He said, so we have to have fathers. We need to do that. And I told you that our television shows just kept putting them down. Even our commercials. You would look at it, and the guy was just a moron, you know, and the kids or the mom would come out, and, oh, yeah, you know. And believe me, there are times that we get things wrong. There is no doubt about it. There are times that fathers get things wrong, and that's where you admit it. You say, yep, well, I messed that one up, didn't I? That's okay. It's okay to come to them and go, you know, that wasn't a good thing. You know, I shouldn't have done that. I've done that, and it's a difficult thing to do. It really is, to go to your kids and go, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have yelled at. I still do that. I still do it sometimes. You know, have to come to them and go, boy, that was wrong. That was wrong of me. I shouldn't have done it. I've had my kids go, oh, it's okay, Dad, you were under some stress. And I said, no, that's not an excuse. And now that's not all right. I want to tell you that right now. I want to apologize to you because I shouldn't have done that. So it's a tough thing to do, but I'm telling you what, it means so much to your kids. I mean, think about it when your dad, if he ever did that, came to you and said, you know what? I'm sorry for what I just did. I messed up. I made a mistake. What did that do? That made him human, but yet it made him a man. The point that he could do that and he could come to you and create even more respect. So it's okay to do that. Provoke not your children to wrath. It's wrong. It hurts. But, and I like this in the Bible. Well, you see that, these three-letter words. I did a sermon on that one time. These three-letter words in the Bible that mean so much. When you see that, it tells you something. Like I said, there's a little colon there in our English language. That means to stop and then begin again. So, not to wrath. And then it says, but. And that's going to begin telling us what we should do. As fathers, you know, what should we do? Okay, we're not supposed to provoke them to wrath. You know, got that. We're going to work on that. We're going to do the best we can on it. But we need to know, what should we do? Give us some instruction. Give us some instruction. You know, don't leave it hanging out there. And the Bible never does. The Bible always completes it. The Bible tells us what not to do, but it tells us what we should do. So it gives us both aspects of it. You know, don't be doing this, but you do need to be doing this. You know, we teach our kids to drive. Don't slouch, but do this. Hold your hands like this, but don't do this. Don't be messing with the radio. Today, we just need to slap that cell phone out of their hands and say, don't be doing that, definitely. And, just on a side note, you need to quit doing that. I'm tired of meeting people that are coming across the line and they're looking at their cell phone and they never do see me. But we do that. We need direction, but we need the positive direction as well. The negative is, yeah, we shouldn't do that. Fathers, don't do this, but what should we do? Because we need to know. We need to know what to do. Don't we need to know that, dads? Aren't you just waiting to hear what God's got to say? Well, I read it a while ago, but it says, but bring them up fathers. Now, this is talking to fathers. Fathers, bring them up. Don't provoke them to wrath because that's discouragement. What should you do? Bring them up. We talk about that, rearing children, bringing them up. What are we doing? We're pulling them up to the point where they need to be. And maybe we're being pulled up where we need to be. I'm growing every day, you know. Sometimes places I don't want to, like my belly. But spiritually, growing every day is a goal that we should aspire to. Say, I want to grow every day. How do you do that? You read your Bible. You pray. Now, I'm not putting these in any order here. You have people in your life that are accountability partners that you can go to that can tell you, hey, you're wrong. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, and you step back and go, okay, maybe I need to rethink this. And that's good. You know, I have men in my life that I can talk to, men my age, some that are older than me, that I can go to and say, and bounce stuff off of, you know, that will be honest with me and say, well, you know, maybe, have you thought about this? You know, or are you sure that they said that? Are you sure that that's the way it is? You know, we need that. So as fathers, we need that. We need to be brought up, but we need to be bringing up. We don't need to be putting it on our spouse all the time. I'm telling you, I've dealt with so many people that their fathers, that their children have gone wayward and something has happened. And they would tell me, they would honestly use these words. I don't know what happened. I had their mother take them to church all the time. And my first question is, where were you? And they know what I'm talking about. Well, I didn't feel like I had time, or I didn't want to go to church, you know. And I've talked to so many fathers that didn't go to church until after their kids were grown and they started going. You know, a lot of people, when they get older, I think they look at it and go, I better start doing something now, man. I don't have much time to go. That's not the time to do it. Take your kids to church. Not as a drudgery, but something that you enjoy. Have Bible time with them. Pray in front of them. Pray for them. Pray with them. Have them know that you know where you're going and what you're doing and that you're following it. And you're not doing it because it's a drudgery, because you want to. And I've told this story before, but before my oldest son went to college, I mean, I'd had him at home. I've got four children and I'd always been there and was directing and everything. And before he went to college, you know, I was going to go drop him off and he was going to stay there. And they had a deal where they had an orientation day. And at some point in time, they said, okay, Mom and Dad, you have to go home. We have to get these kids ready. He was going to stay in a dorm, you know, and I've been praying, oh Lord, please God, help him, you know. But, he and I were out, driving and I was talking to him and I was telling him some things and I just stopped the car. And I said, I've got to know this. And I said, please don't lie to me. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear, but I want you to give me an honest answer to my question. I said, do you honestly know that I believe everything I've told you about the Lord? Do you honestly know that I believe everything that's written in that Bible? Do you honestly know that I've done it because I feel like it's the right thing, not because I think I have to or I've been trying to force you to do it? I said, I need to know that you know that about me. And he said, yeah, Dad, I do. I do. You know, and I said, don't be blowing smoke at me now. I said, tell me the truth. And he said, I do. I needed to know that. I needed to know that I had instilled that in him. That as I was bringing him up, he understood that kind of thing. So, fathers, bring them up. Pull them up. Lift them up. Tell them, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, daddies, it's very important that you tell your daughters they're pretty. Because if you don't, if you never tell them that, if you never say, hey, you're a beautiful woman and you deserve a great man, don't ever put up with less, and you don't tell them that you love them, and you don't tell them that they're pretty, I'm promising you right now there will be somebody that will that you won't like. Take them out. One of the greatest times I've had with my daughters is I took them to a dinner theater, just just us, just my two daughters and me. And I had a great time. And I didn't get to do that all the time. I didn't get to do it a lot. But that is such a great memory within me that I remember that time and they remember that time. And I just had a great time, you know, treating them special because they are. So daddies, you're responsible for that. You tell that girl you love her. You never told her you love her. You may shock her and she may just go, what? If you go and you tell her I love you, you're pretty, you're beautiful, you're a lovely person, you deserve a man that appreciates that, that will treat your children in the way they should, that will treat you in the way they should, that will bring your children up, that will guide your household, that will look after you, that will fight for you. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give a whip for a man that wouldn't fight for his wife or his kids. And I'm talking about in any way, mentally, emotionally, physically. Wouldn't fight a bear if they had to. If you're that way and you're cowardly and you won't do that for your wife, you won't do that for your kids, well, shame on you. Fathers, bring them up. How? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the nurture. What does that mean? Training and love. To love the Lord. To let them know that there's something much greater than you. And He loves you. God loves you. Not only do I love you, but God the Father loves you. I'm telling you right now that I have dealt with so many people. And it is very difficult to talk to someone about God the Father and how much He loved so much. When Jesus said that God so loved the world, it is tough for someone to understand that who has had a father in their life that either has been absent, abusive, mean, nasty, provoking to anger all the time, a bad father. It's hard to talk to someone that's had a bad father about, for God so loved the world. Because that's what they equate with it. I'm going to tell you what, fathers right now, your children coming up, I don't care if they're babies right now, their image of God the Father is going to be molded by the Father here on earth. That's why the Bible talks about fathers. You need to do this. You need to show this love. You need to show the admonition, the nurture of the Lord. You need to raise them up, bring them up in that way to let them know that. Because if you don't, who is going to? And I quoted this last Sunday at a church I was at, but there's statistics that prove that if you get the kid in the church, you've got very little chance of getting mom and daddy. If you get mama in the church, it raises up. It's somewhere in the 60 percentile. Maybe a little bit lower. Barnett does different studies, but that's the way it was. And you could raise that up. If you got mama in the church, you had a better chance than if you got the kids in church to get the whole family in the church. But if you got daddy in the church, it goes up into the high 90s of getting the whole family in the church. Isn't that amazing? Where the father goes, the family will go. They will follow after him. I remember listening to a guy. He was a pastor, and I think he was down in Atlanta, but it was amazing to me. And he was talking about his family, and they were unsaved. And he said at lunchtime, this man shared Jesus with his daddy. And his daddy got saved, and he came home, and he said, we're going to go to church. And mama said, no, I'm not. No, that may be for you, and I've dealt with families like this. That may be for you, and maybe you want to do that, but I don't want to do that. That's not for me. I'm not doing that. And his daddy said, that's okay. I'm going, and I'm going to take the kids. He said eventually everyone in his household got saved because his daddy persisted. His daddy continued to worship the Lord. They saw the realness of what their daddy had. And he started naming off that he was a pastor. His brother was a missionary. His sister was married to a missionary. He started naming off all the kids that had gone in the service of the Lord because of that one man sharing the gospel with his daddy. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Most churches are more worried about getting kids in there because it's easier than going after daddies. Than going after them and saying, hey, daddy, would you like to do so? If I got a good friend who's an evangelist and he does hunting things and things like that, men's things, to go in there to get these daddies in, and he'll tell the churches, he said, you need to charge for it because that makes it seems like it's worth something. And if you get a free ticket. They're going, what's that worth? He said, charge it, but here's what you do. He said, you have all the men in the church. They buy up the tickets. And then they go to a friend that's of theirs and say, hey, I bought so many tickets here. Would you go with me? And they get them in and see them saved and see families come in. I'm promising you, this is the way it works. Fathers, raise them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. It talks about children, obey your parents, for this is right. Fathers, do this for your kids because this is right. This is not just me saying this. This is the Bible saying this. And in many different places it talks about the Father. Jesus spoke to the Father when he taught him to pray. He said, our Father which art in heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if this cup can pass from me. On the cross, Father, forgive them. It was very important, and he laid it out. This is the way we need to look at this. We go to God the Father, we know we're approaching the throne of a God that loves us. Your children should be able to approach you and know that you love them. Now, I will tell you, in my household, love was not a word that was said a lot. My dad didn't say that a lot. It hadn't been said to him. I didn't say it a lot. When I got married, my wife's family was totally the opposite way. My wife's family, they liked to hug. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to hug them. They'd say, I love you, and I'd go, okay. It was tough for me to do that. I knew I was loved, but we didn't say it a lot. And it took a while for me to be able to say it. I'm much better at saying it now because I know that as time goes on, I'm nearly 60 years old, there's less and less time for me to say it, and I need to get it in. I need these people to know that. I tell my friends that I love them. And, I tell my wife, I tell my kids, I want them to know that because God loves me. For God so loved the world. See, his love for us, he loved us so much he sent his only son. That's what the Father did. That's what the Father did. I'm telling you what, you know, I'm not giving my kids up for anybody. I've got a good buddy, and if he called me up right now, I'd quit this if I had to, and quit recording this, and I'd go help him, you know. He knows that, but I told him one time, we were talking about the relationship, and I said, you know, God gave his only son. I said, if you called me up and told me, you know, I need some help and you may die in this, you know, I'd say, well, I'll be there, I think. You know, I really think I would. But I said, if you called me up and said, I need your child or I will die, I said, I would preach you a great funeral because you're going to die because you're not getting my kids. But that's exactly what God did. So on this Father's Day, I want you to understand that God the Father did that for you. He gave his only son. He's not provoking you. He's not trying to get you angry. He's trying to bring you up to be with him. He's trying to let you know, I sent a sacrifice for you. I gave of myself so that you could be relationally with me. So that you could cry out, Abba. That means daddy. That's what I called my daddy. He died the 14th of May. You know, and my whole life I called him daddy. I didn't call him father. I didn't do that. I called him daddy. And that's what he says. You can do that when you become a child of God. We are all God's creation, but I'm telling you right now, we're not all God's children. You only become a child of God when you accept the Son, when you accept the sacrifice. And you can do that today. You can have eternal life because it says the wages of sin is death. How do we sin? By being alive, the world is condemned already, is what Jesus said. Sin was brought into the world by one man. It's what the Bible says. That one man is Adam. But that sin was taken care of by one man, Jesus. And you can have that free gift today. Because that's how much the Father loves you. He said, I want you to have eternal life. I want you to be with me forever. Do we understand that completely? If anybody tells you they understand eternity, I'm telling you what, they've got the greatest mind in the world, or they're telling you that untruth. Because it's tough to understand, but I believe it. I believe that God did this. I believe with all my heart that he wants to see you saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what we're told in the Bible. That's a father's love. Fathers today, give that love to your kids. because the Father gave it to you. Accept that free gift. Daddy, if you're unsaved today, you need to accept Jesus Christ and let your kids know that so they can follow you and accept Jesus Christ themselves and live that life of Christ. I hope that you will do that today. I hope that you understand the Father's love and His commitment to you. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries.